Welcome to the Highway Church Podcast. We pray that this message inspires you today.
And I have the honor, the privilege of bringing a word to you this morning. And if you'll let me, I want to invite you into my quiet time with God. See, as I was praying about what to bring this morning, God told me to bring something that I've been working through with him for probably the last 6 months or so. And I want to invite you into my quiet time, to my prayer time, to my thought time with God. Is that cool? So I'm going to pray first, if that's all good. Father, I thank you for this privilege. I thank you for this honor, Lord, that it is not just to come around your word, but Lord, to have your living and breathing word, Father. Oh, Holy Spirit, would you minister to us? Lord, I pray that my words, the words that I've come up with, Father, that they wouldn't go past the edge of this platform, Lord, but that your words would go to the hearts of your sons and daughters in this place, Lord, that everyone in here would leave having heard your gentle voice. In your mighty name, Jesus. Amen. Whew, okay. What have I got? So if you are part of that wiser, more experienced group here, what I've brought this morning is a simple word, okay? What I've brought this morning probably isn't going to be new for you. Probably, it might not be new for anyone in this room. But I pray that if that's the case, that you leave encouraged and empowered and still that you hear the voice of God, because I believe that as I speak, he speaks also. And that you will hear his voice as I'm up here, yeah? So cool. So what I want to talk to you about is in Jesus' name. Or in the name of Jesus. See, these three words that we say, a few words that we say at the end of a prayer or when we're trying to capture some extra authority, like what are they? Are they the special password to get prayers answered? Are they just some words we say to get authority, to gain some extra authority? Is it something that we're supposed to use? Is it something we're supposed to follow? Is it just an acknowledgement of Jesus' intercession on our behalf to the Father? Is it some of those or all of them or none of them? Is it something else entirely? I'm not going to try and explain what the name of Jesus is in its entirety this morning, because I don't believe there's time for that in our life. But what I am going to do is I believe I've narrowed down three aspects of the name of Jesus that then can be transferred into three ways we can carry the name of Jesus well. So. So I think first to understand what the name of Jesus is, we need to understand what a name meant in Jesus' culture, in Jesus' time, yeah? And the first thing I came across when I was researching this was that in the Jewish culture, and the definition or the meaning of a name carried a lot more weight than it does in ours. That the people were named after situations or circumstances they were born, or more so over prophetic declarations of who they would be or what they were going to do or what was going on in Israel at the time, right? Like, think Abram's name being changed to Abraham because he'd be the father of many, or Abraham naming his son Isaac, which means laughter, because Sarah said he brought laughter in my old age, or Isaac's twin boys, Esau and Jacob, Esau being born first, covered in hair, is called Esau, which means hairy. And then Jacob came out grasping onto his brother's heel. Jacob means to grasp at heels. And if that's not a weird enough name, to grasp at heels was an idiom for deceiving, which turned out to be prophetic over Jacob's life when he deceives his father to steal his brother's blessing. Later, he wrestles with a man who turns out to be God, and God changes his name to Israel because he wrestles with God. Because Israel means wrestles with God. See, if you want an interesting time, go through your Old Testament, and every time a child is born and named, if your Bible's like mine, in the footnotes, it'll tell you what that name means. And I'll tell you, there's some weird ones, there's some funny ones, there's some heartbreaking ones. Hosea, for example, names one of his daughters not loved. and one of his sons not my people. The prophetic declaration over God's judgment and punishment that was coming to Israel in that time, and further on the salvation that he was bringing as well. See, names carried weight. Names had meaning in Jesus' culture. Jesus' name itself in Hebrew is Yeshua. Yeshua's literal translation, is the one who saves from Yahweh. Or Yahweh saves. Jesus' name literally means God saves. A prophetic declaration over who he was and what he was going to do and what he continues to do today. See, the definition of a name was important to Jesus in Jesus' time. Jesus also grew up, this is the second thing that I think is important, is Jesus grew up in an honor-shame culture, in an honor-shame society, which means your name was your reputation, your name was your social status. Right? You carried your family name wherever you went. It had the power to open doors or to close them. See, honor was a shared commodity, right? One person could bring honor to a name and one person could bring shame to a name, just the same. If you were raised in this society, you would have been raised with the expectation that you would bring honor to your family's name, even at personal cost. See, your name equaled your reputation, equaled your perceived character within the community. Every decision you made, every action you took, everything you said had the potential to change your family's reputation, your family's perceived character to society around you, right? And Jesus wasn't immune to this. Jesus was born into this culture, and we come to Matthew 13, where Jesus he's had his ministry for a while. He has performed miracles. He has a great following, but he comes back to his hometown of Nazareth. And they note how much wisdom he has. They're in awe of all this wisdom he has. They're in awe of this miraculous power that he has. But because of his family's name, they refuse him that honor. See, in Matthew 13, 55 to 57, I'll read their response. They literally just said that they were in awe of his wisdom and his miraculous power. And this is how they respond. Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary? Aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? Aren't all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all these things? And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to him, a prophet is not without honor except in his own town and in his own home. Stumbled that a bit. See, what does that mean? It means that even though Jesus had a name for himself, even though he had his own reputation, his own honor, shame, score, even though he had a massive following, when he came into his hometown, the name of his family overshadowed who he was and it refused him the honor that he deserved. See, I don't think we can grasp this culture, most of us, unless we grew up in it or have had a lot of dealing with it, I guess, because honor and shame are part of our culture, but not to this degree. They don't determine our social status. They don't determine our standing or what we can or can't do, right? See, if we do something embarrassing, if it's funny enough, it might end up on YouTube. But the reality is we get over it. It doesn't affect our family or our social status unless it's massive, right? I did something embarrassing this week, if you can't work that out. I managed to fall off a patio and fracture a bone in my hand. It was great. But you know what I was disappointed about? There was only one guy who saw it and he didn't think it was funny. So you can have a good name. You can have a bad name in our culture. There's a saying in construction where you're as good as your last job. Your reputation only follows you one job behind, right? But in this culture, your reputation followed you generations behind. You couldn't move out of your reputation, your family's name. You could maybe bring it up a bit if you brought enough honor to your family, but you were stuck in that starting place. We live in an equitable society where we try and lift people up to the same starting point here, but see, that's not what it was like there. If you started at the bottom, you stayed at the bottom. Right, my brother's an example of a good name or a bad name here. My brother's experienced in school. In case you guys don't know, I probably wasn't the best behaved kid in school. And I was the oldest in my family. So my brothers, especially the one right below me, Tim, would often take a problem with me, have a bone to pick with me at the start of the year when his new teachers realized that I was his brother, and all of a sudden that they were teaching him with the expectation, with the reputation that I had left. See, what I'm saying is reputation is real in our culture, but nothing like it was here. See, it dictated your whole life, what you ate, where you ate, how you spoke, who you spoke to, where you could or couldn't go, what you could or couldn't do. See, everything was governed by the name of your family, by the name that you carried, or of your community, or of your town. So this is what I love, and it's a bit dry to get here, I'm sorry, but how countercultural is Jesus? How radical is Jesus then to be raised in this culture and then to say, if you believe in me, you can have my name. If you believe in me, you can have my reputation. That reputation that you have, that name that you have, that thing that you did does not matter anymore. You can have mine. But how radical is it too, though, for him to trust us with that? For him to trust us with his reputation, to trust us to represent his character to the world. I don't know, I wouldn't trust me, but... See, and the third thing that I think is important is that names equaled authority. See, the Romans collected taxes and ruled cities and towns in the name of Rome, in the name of Caesar. Jesus in John 5, his authority is questioned. And in his response, when he gets down to it, his response in verse 43 is that I have come in my Father's name. See, his Father's name gave him all the authority he needed. The Father's name testified to the authority that he had. In Luke 10, Jesus sends out his disciples. He's already sent out the 12, but he sends out the other 72 disciples to go healing people, to go casting out demons. And they come back in Luke 10, verse 17, ecstatic, overjoyed at the authority they have found in Jesus' name. You know, it says the 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. In Matthew 7, Jesus tells us a similar story, but one that I find challenging and a bit scary, if I'm honest. He's talking of a group of people that have access, that have used the authority of his name, but don't know him. So in Matthew 7, 22-23, we read, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles. Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, evildoers. Do you find it scary that you could access the power of Jesus' name, the authority of Jesus' name, but not know him, not be adopted into that name? That challenges me. That puts so much emphasis on the need for personal relationship. For me, a more modern example of the authority of a name is we'll see it in movies, and I mean, I hope you guys aren't hearing this at your home, but is police when they say, open up in the name of the law. Yeah? Or come out in the name of the law. See, we can summon authority. We can claim authority through a name. See, like I said before, this isn't meant to be an exhaustive list. But these three things I think are important this morning. See, a name means something. A name carries a reputation and a character, and a name has authority. So before I get into how I think we can live this out, how we can carry the name of Jesus well, There's just something that I couldn't work out where this fits, but I had to include it. So we're just going to put this on pause. I'm going to step over here. See, if the name of Jesus literally means God saves, and if you know Jesus as your Savior, you are the literal fulfillment of that prophetic declaration that is His name. God has saved you. Not just from spiritual death, but he saved you also from what life without him would have looked like or did look like or could look like. I can tell you my life without him didn't look good. And I want to say, if you're here this morning and you don't know him as your Savior, then there will be an opportunity. We will have an opportunity later on where you can know him as your Savior. And this is important. I can tell you that I know this is important because I've lived on both sides, with God and without God. And I can tell you that your worst day with God is going to be better than your best day without him. All right. So back over here now. So how do we as Christians, as carriers of the name of Jesus, how do we do that well? My first point here, the way we can carry it well is pray in the name of Jesus. And this one I felt like had to be first, because that's probably the most common time we hear it said is in the name of Jesus at the end of a prayer, right? Now you might know, you might not, I was raised in church, I chose to walk away. Right, and Jesus came and found me and put me back together and restored me to the kingdom. But when I was growing up in church, I understood in the name of Jesus was just the way you finished a prayer. Right? And then when I was freshly saved again in my 20s, I fell in love with the word and I read John 13 to 14, and it says, "And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it." So then I worked out that it's a code phrase. It's like a little secret password. Let's God know you're in the club and that this is a prayer that needs to be answered, right? I even remember one of my friends who was recently saved at the same time, and we were talking about why prayers weren't being answered. And this was the conclusion we came to. It's because they weren't saying in Jesus' name at the end of the prayer, right? Do you know what the problem with this is? I've prayed a lot of prayers in Jesus' name that never got answered. I'm sure you have too. And see, now I believe that this is the word of God and that it is infallible. So that means that my understanding had to be the thing that was wrong there, right? So can I let you know what I've come to understand? See, I've come to understand that in the name of Jesus isn't three words that we say, four words. Five words, wow. But it's the qualifier for the prayer. See, what I mean by that is, it's whatever we ask that fits into his name, that fits into his reputation, that fits into his character, that fits into his will, that fits into his reputation, he will do. Whatever we ask as a genuine representative of him and his wishes, he will do. It's about submitting our will, our agenda, to his, and praying that his will would be done. See, when I was praying for this and I asked God, I said, "Can you show me, Lord, what it means to pray? Can you show me how to pray in Jesus' name?" And he led me to Luke 22:42. This is when Jesus is in the garden before he's about to be arrested. He's going to be crucified in the next day or so. And he prays this prayer. He prays, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." Now, I recently heard it said as a comfort to someone that even Jesus' last prayer didn't get answered. And I understand that perspective, but I'd offer another one here, is that prayer did get answered. Because his prayer wasn't, take this cup from me. His prayer was, if you are willing, yet not my will, but your will be done. See, praying in Jesus' name is less about saying the right words at the end of a prayer and more about positioning your heart to pray as a representative of him within his will, not our own. And I'm not discrediting the power of Jesus' name. I'm not discrediting the authority that is available that we can claim in Jesus' name. And I know it's also an acknowledgement of his intercession on our behalf. What I'm saying is this, though. Is that the power, the authority, Jesus' intercession has become ever more real since I started trying to position my heart in his name when I pray. Since I started making a shift in my heart to pray within his will, within his character. And I'll be honest, I've had to pray some hard prayers doing this. I've had to pray some prayers that I didn't want to pray. I've had to submit my will in areas that hurt. But oh, the power, or the authority that I have been witness to, praying this way. See, no longer when I say in Jesus' name at the end, I don't do it out of ritual. It's a prayer within a prayer that, Lord, whatever fits within your name in this prayer, would you do it? Otherwise, Lord, your will, not mine. My second way we can carry his name well this morning is rest in the name of Jesus. See, there is rest to be found in the name of Jesus. And Mark, if you want to come back, that'd be awesome. Thanks, bro. See, one thing this year that I've been doing, the start of the year, bit of context. I get up early for work, right? I work as a concreter. Most mornings I'm up before 4. Okay? Church life means I'm out late quite a lot of nights. So I don't have... I got spare. Anyway, if I don't have structured quiet time, it falls to the side. If I don't have structured quiet time, it gets neglected and it falls away. Like that's just me being honest in how I am, right? So at the start of this year, I was praying and spending quiet time with God, and I said, Lord, what does my quiet time look like this year? And he led me to this idea of praying through the Psalms. And not only that, but to pray through Psalm 23 every day. And what that's done for me is I've found so much rest in him. I've found so much rest in who he is, in who God says he is. Can I tell you that there are days when I am worn out? And I get to verse 3 and it says, you refresh my soul, and I can feel it. I'd love to pray this over all of us right now. Is that all right? See, that's like, it's there already. That's how much this Bible's been open to that page. So I just want to invite you right now, close your eyes, soak this in. The Lord is our shepherd. We lack nothing. He makes us lie down in green pastures. He leads us beside quiet waters. He refreshes our soul. He guides us along the right paths for his name's sake. And even though we walk through the darkest valleys, we will fear no evil, for you are with us. Your rod and your staff, they comfort us. You prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies. You anoint our heads with oil. Our cup overflows. Surely your goodness and your love will follow us all the days of our lives. And we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There is rest in Jesus' name. What I mean when I say this is you can rest in his reputation. You can rest in his character. He is who he says he is. You are who he says you are. He will provide for you. He will protect you. He will turn all things for good for those who love him. He will answer any prayer that is prayed in his name. He has saved you. He has redeemed you. He has given you eternal life. He has conquered death. So you can live with a confidence that he is Lord and that he loves you, that he chose you, that he set you apart, that he is preparing a room for you in his Father's house, that you are saved, that you are redeemed, that you are set free, that you are set apart, that you are anointed, that you are called, that he sees your heart and he loves it. And he loves you, that he died for you, that you are reconciled to the Father. I was listening to a podcast this week. I'm going to nerd out on you a little bit here. But I was listening to a podcast this week, and they were talking about, I have no idea how to say it or what the word is, but the Greek word in the book of John that's translated to believe or to trust, it's the same word, that it can also be translated as relax. Now, I'm not advocating that we should change it, but what I'm saying is, soak it in what that would mean. You know, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son so that whoever relaxes in him would not perish but have eternal life. There is rest in the name of Jesus. Now, the third way we can live this out, and this is, I'm going to leave this as a challenge, not just to you, but to me. See, this isn't brought from a place of perfection. I hope that's clear. This is brought from the workbench. This is something I'm working on daily with God. This is something I believe that every believer is working on daily with God. But the third way we can carry the name well is to be in the name of Jesus. See, what I mean by this is we need to represent him well. We need to steward his name well. So you carry his name. If Jesus is your savior, it's not a if you carry his name. You can't choose that today I'm going to carry his name and tomorrow I'm not. You carry his name. Your choice is, am I going to steward it well today? Am I going to represent him well today? Is the world going to know his character through me well today? Or am I going to do the opposite? See, God has adopted you into sonship, into daughtership. We need to represent him well. We need to represent his character, his love, not just love for the world, but love for the one. Now, I was reading through Ezekiel 34 this last week with my wife. We found a lot of life in that chapter a couple of weeks ago, and God's talking about, it's prophetic about Jesus being the shepherd. And he puts so much emphasis on finding the scattered sheep. We need to be looking for lost sheep. Present Jesus to our world, not just in our words, but in our character. Jesus has trusted you with his name. He's trusted me with his name. He's trusted us with his name. It's not a choice of if you have it. It's a choice of how you have it. I'm going to finish with reading Colossians 3, bookmark would have been a good idea, hey? Got it. 3:12-17 says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all of these virtues, put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule over your hearts. Since as members of one body, you are called to peace and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. See, we carry the name of Jesus. We show him to the world. We owe it to Jesus to do it well. We owe it to Jesus. We owe it to him to show his true character, to put him on daily. There are people in each of our worlds that need to meet Jesus. And they're going to meet him in you before they meet him in here. Can I pray? Oh Lord, I thank you that you entrusted us with your name. I thank you that you brought us in under your name, that we could live in your name, Lord. That who we were, that what we did doesn't matter, Lord, because we are yours and we come under your name. Father, I pray for a boldness. Lord, I pray for a courage. Lord, I pray for a passion, for a burning fire within us, Lord, to introduce you to our world, Lord, through our character, through our actions, through our love, Lord. Lord, make it so that we're not satisfied unless we're representing you well. Make it so that we're not satisfied unless people in our world are meeting you through us. Lord, put in us a hunger for the lost. Break our heart, Lord, for what breaks yours. In your mighty name, Jesus. Amen. Now, I said earlier that there would be an opportunity later on. And this is that opportunity. This is that moment that if you're here and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you don't know the God that I've been talking about, or that we've been worshiping, we've been praying to, or maybe you did know him and you've walked away, this is your opportunity to invite him in, to accept the free gift that is his salvation. See, I thought when I was a teenager that I knew a better way. I thought that I could find joy. I thought that I could find fulfillment in the world. But all I found was emptiness. All I found was broken promises. And I was stubborn. It wasn't until I was at a point where I was trying to take my own life that my heart was ready to be open to Jesus. And I pray that no one here ever has to go through that, but can I tell you that his love, that his hope, that his embrace, that his joy surpasses all understanding. It doesn't matter what is going on or what you think is going on. His grace is sufficient. So I want to give you an opportunity, and if everyone could bow their heads and close their eyes. Now I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand, and then I'm going to pray a prayer. And I just want to know who I'm including in this prayer. We ask everyone to bow their heads and close their eyes, because this is we want it to be a private moment for you. So if that's you, could you raise your hand so I can see? So I know who I'm praying for. Awesome. You can put it down. Awesome. Is there anybody else here? See, I want to let you in on a little secret. Is you're not here by chance. You're here because Jesus wanted to meet with you. And the reality is that you're worth waiting for. Awesome. One more time. And I know this might seem awkward for some of us to sit here for so long, but the reality is I know that I would have waited till the third call. And you're worth it. There is a God, there is a Jesus that loves you so much, that longs for you to know him. So one last time, is there anybody else? Awesome. So good. Well, I'm going to lead us in a prayer now. But there's something that we do at Highway, and it's important because, you know, we believe that a physical action represents We believe there's power when you get out of your seat and you leave your old life behind, all right? So what I want you to do, we're all going to jump to our feet now. But if that was you that raised your hand, I'm going to ask you to be bold right now and to come down here and meet with me. You're not signing up to anything. You're not joining anything. I just want to invite you down here so we can pray together and you can start your journey. So would you come? Awesome.
Gideon.
Cool. So would you repeat after me, church? Heavenly Father, I thank you that you sent your Son to die for me so that I could know you. I accept the gift of salvation and invite you into my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Awesome. I'm going to give you guys a hand, hey? Awesome decision. Now, before you run off, Kirsten, are you right to... No? Oh, Dave will do it. If you just want to go with Dave, he'll just give you a Bible and some whatever you need, answer any questions you've got. Awesome. So good. And I will hand back over to Em.
We hoped you loved that message. If you want any more information about us, head to highway.com.au.